Why France is going to start taxing financial transactions.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill. Now, the global perspective in business and economics. European leaders are meeting today in Brussels. Their talks are focused on working together to solve the debt crisis, manage a likely Greek default, and to balance their budgets. But one country is going it alone, at least on part of the plan. France has proposed a new tax on banks, charging them a little bit for every financial transaction. The BBC's Andrew Walker explains what exactly the financial transaction tax is.
President Sarkozy has some big problems to tackle. Among them, his government is running a budget deficit. This financial transactions tax is labelled by some as a Robin Hood tax, as in, it steals from the rich and gives to the poor.
Nous espérons récupérer pour le budget de l'État et donc réduire le déficit.
We hope the tax will generate 1 billion euros of new income and thus cut our budget deficit. What we want to do now is to push others into taking action by giving them an example.
In this case, the French president didn't spell out exactly what would be taxed, but officials have said it'll be trading in shares of stock, not bonds. And the French hope to set an example that will lead to other European countries adopting a similar tax. French banks oppose going it alone, fearing they'll lose business, perhaps to London. Britain already has a tax on share trading, but will not go along with a levy on other types of transactions. Political observers note President Sarkozy also faces an election and he's currently trailing in the opinion polls. Taxing the banks will be popular, and President Sarkozy says it will make a useful contribution to fixing the government's finances. I'm the BBC's Andrew Walker for Marketplace.
We don't usually do the weather, but here's the Marketplace forecast for the week. Warm, at least warmer than usual in a whole lot of the country. John Dimsdale reports the higher-than-average temperatures have cooled the price of heating fuel.
Kyle Cooper tracks fuel supplies as managing director of research for IAF Advisors in Houston, where he says temperatures have routinely been in the 70s this January.
It's not so fun in July and August, but in the winter, yeah, it's not bad.
The winter's lower than normal demand for heating fuels like oil and natural gas is creating a glut. In fact, Cooper says the surpluses could become what he calls catastrophic.
We're on a path to actually exceed storage capacity by October or November. There's a chance there's literally no more room at the end.
The price for natural gas has dropped by 50% since September, and that helps electricity generators and refiners of gasoline.
The U.S. is now a net exporter of both gasoline and diesel fuel as a result of the competitive cost advantage that U.S. manufacturers now have as a result of this cheap natural gas.
Right now, Americans are paying about $2.50 for natural gas that costs Europeans $10. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Now, let's do the numbers. Global markets are down this morning. Here in the U.S., federal prosecutors say they may delete data from file-sharing site Mega Upload as soon as Thursday. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow finished down 74 points to close at 12,660.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. By The Economist, presenting its third annual Ideas Economy Innovation event on March 28th in Berkeley, California. More information at innovation.economist.com. And by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com.
In his State of the Union address, President Obama sketched out a plan to help homeowners who are current on their mortgages to refinance. We're still waiting for details of the program, but the idea sounds pretty good to Alan Sloan. He's editor-at-large at Fortune magazine and joins us now. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Adrienne.
So why do you think this proposal is such a big deal?
Because if it's done the right way, it amounts to Wall Street bailing out honorable Main Street homeowners whose tax money was used to bail out Wall Street. You'd make life easier for maybe 20 million families by reducing their monthly interest payments at no cost to the taxpayers. It's about $60 billion a year of economic stimulus. Also, it's obvious economic justice by helping people who through no fault in their own, can't refinance.
Now, explain, how is this Wall Street bailing out Main Street?
Because the money the homeowners would save, which will call on average $3,000 a year of interest, in effect comes out of the pockets of the holders of mortgage-backed securities. And these holders are predominantly the Federal Reserve and giant financial institutions that taxpayers bailed out. This is not the government bailing out people who've defaulted. This is honorable homeowners getting to refinance and paying their debts at 100 cents on the dollar. There's nothing not to like unless you own the mortgage-backed securities.
Now, we're talking about possible huge losses here, right, for the people who own these securities. Is there any chance this could actually happen?
I hope it happens. I'm not wishing losses on Wall Street, but these mortgages have been trading at a big premium. The securities would not be trading at anything like their current value if taxpayers had not bailed out the financial system and a lot of the old owners of the securities. So they lose money, but that's life. It's in the contract. You're supposed to know that when you buy a mortgage-backed security.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Adrian. It was my pleasure.
And finally, with the Super Bowl less than a week away, let's check to see which team the animal kingdom is betting on. First, there's a sea lion in the Bronx Zoo who thinks the Giants are going to win. A camel in New Jersey named Princess also picked the Giants. Now, she's actually picked 5 of the last 6 Super Bowl champions, so has some credibility. But as a New Jersey resident, Princess is unlikely to have a fully objective view of the game. So on to the Georgia Aquarium, where dolphins correctly predicted a Giants-Patriots matchup, but then they picked the Miami Dolphins to win the whole thing, apparently just not understanding how football works. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So, maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad app.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.